much. Take your Bible, please. Turn with me to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. I appreciate so much the privilege that's been mine. I mention every once in a while to people, you know, I started preaching when I was just a freshman in high school, 14 years of age, and as you can probably tell by looking, that's been a couple of weeks ago. And but after a lot of years of having the opportunity to do what I'm planning to do in the next few minutes, I still get excited every time they hand me a microphone. Now, I do not have that written in my notes anywhere to get excited right here. It's not written in there. But you know, when you've been born again, and whenever you feel as though that you have surrendered to do whatever it is God wants you to do, and you get the opportunity to do that, I just don't understand why that we would not be excited about that. And you'll put up with my enthusiasm maybe a little bit, but I love getting to do these messages and to do whatever we can do. And by the way, I hear that there is a fabulous radio station here in town, the best one in the entire region, 90.3 FM, and I have the privilege to be on there five nights a week at 8 o'clock. You know, you can turn off whatever garbage is on the TV talk shows at that hour, and, you know, maybe shut off the baseball game or whatever. I know I'm competing now when we start doing that, but I think if you'll join me at 8 o'clock every night, Monday through Friday, except Wednesday, they put me on just a little bit later so we don't cut into the service here, but basically 8 o'clock on five nights a week, and what I do on there, I get on. We have a little studio that I work in there at the SWORD offices, and one of my grandsons, who's about to turn 20 years of age, is my engineer, and he and I get in that studio, and we just go at it, have a big time putting those programs together, and once in a while I'll run a CD of something I've done in a conference somewhere, but most of the time it's just just doing everything we can to stand up and to be counted and to encourage people in their walk with the Lord. And so I hope you'll tell friends not only about the station but about our program that I call Making a Difference. And I believe if you'll join me, we'll have a good time every single time. Appreciate you praying for us. This is the Sword of the Lord's 90th year of publication. September will be 90 full years. And we're amazed day after day, but the paper literally encircles the globe. And not only on your station, but my program is on a total of 84 radio stations and media outlets, and gives us a huge, huge audience all around the world. And just thankful to the Lord for what we get to do all the time. But you pray for us, because it is a plate full all the time, and we're thankful that we get to do it and just rejoice in God's good blessing. And I will say this to you, I've said it to many of you today, I delight in the privilege that I have to come to Landmark. I've watched from a distance long before I became acquainted personally with Dr. Carter. I knew about Landmark, had watched the stalwart stand that he had taken and the position that has been well established by the church and the growth and all of that. And that, of course, goes back a lot of years as well. And then, you know, once the transition took place here and Pastor Parsons came on board, and nothing has been revised. The game plan, the philosophy, everything pressing on like it has through all the years. Listen, there's no price tag to be placed on that. Amen. That's a delight. Many of you've heard the stories of churches, they change leadership and then something heads off in a wild direction. Well, it's not happening at Landmark. And I'm grateful for that, and thank God for both of these men and the friendship that I am delighted to enjoy with them. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 4, and I begin reading at the top of the chapter. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 1. Guys back in the sound room, could you all give me just a little bit more for me? I'm not hearing me real well. just a hair, just a tiny bit, not a lot, just a little bit. Therefore, my beloved brethren, now let me get it right. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, we'll look at several things in this chapter, but verse 9 is the key around which I want to build here for a few minutes tonight, and I'll read it again. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, you'll remember, perhaps, if you think about it, those of you that have been a Christian very long and studied a little bit, and you know that this is a prison epistle. The Apostle Paul is the human penman. The Spirit of God inspired him to write, but he is incarcerated. He is in a prison cell, and based on being a traveler abroad a few times over the years and seeing some of the places where some of this stuff took place, I promise you that his prison cell was not a luxury room at the Holiday Inn. It was not a Hilton. It was not even Motel 3, which is half of, well, anyway. So I'm just saying to you, he is in a situation that is, it's not a garden. There are no flowers blooming where he is. There's no curb service. He is in a less than desirable situation. You say, why is he there? I thought he was a great man of God, and yet he is in the Huskow. Yes, but he's there not because he's a criminal, not because he's misbehaved, not because he has done something crazy, but he's there imprisoned for his faith, for his doctrine, for his preaching, for his witness. Now, I've read chapter 4 over and over and over again, and even in that setting, I see no hint of discouragement, I hear no whining, and I believe he is still mightily focused. And that's why he says to the Philippian church, pretty good group apparently, but he says to them, the things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, he said, I've taught you some things, and you latched onto it, you received it, you heard everything I had to say, you have seen how I've responded to all of this, and he said, that's the way I want you to function whenever the heat comes on, whenever the pressure's there, whenever there's persecution, whenever there's some bad thing just drops in your lap. He said, I want you to remember what you've learned, what you've heard, what you've seen in me, and just do that, and do that, and do that, and keep doing that. And he said, if you will do that, the God who is the God of peace shall be with you. That means even if you are incarcerated, there'll be a peace in your heart about who you are, what you've done, and what's going on in your life. Now, I looked at this, very, very insightful, I believe, very instructive. And I asked myself, I wonder what it is that they had learned from him, what they had heard from him, what they had seen in him. I wonder what it is. Well, I didn't have to wonder because it's in the text. He says, right at the outset in verse number one, he says to them, stand fast in the Lord. Now, when he says stand fast, that doesn't mean do something speedily. That word fast here does not have a reference to speed, but it has a reference to standing tall, standing true, not giving in, not giving up, not caving in, capitulating when the pressure's on. Things go sideways, things turn sour, and when they do, he said, stand, and as is said in the Ephesian letter, he said, stand, and having done all, to stand. So you and I mean, we live in a crazy time. We live in a world that is, I mean, it is spiraling downhill, out of control, and our nation has gotten into the thick of that. I mean, so many things have happened in the last number of years, and especially I dated all the way back to about 1960 when things really began to turn in the wrong direction, just one little piece at a time. And as the decades have rolled by, it has picked up speed considerably, and just one thing after another that has turned wrongly, and at the same time, our nation has just floundered all along the way as things have gotten worse and worse. And you and I live in that. That's where we live. That's where we work. That's the society that we're in. We have seen really the tide so turn that, you know, you can knock on doors with inside of the church house and find people who have no clue what we're about. All over the place. It's not only true in Florida, it's true in our Nashville, Tennessee area where we live and other places where I travel around the country. It's true all across the nation. And you and I have every encouragement from the Word of God not to let that get in our craw, as we say. Don't ingest it too deeply, but instead just remember, we're here on business. We have ambassadorial responsibilities. We are the servants of the living God, and we have the privilege to represent him and to be his ambassadors. And even though the pressure turns our direction, even though, I mean, people are saying ugly things about us and they malign us. Pastor, as you know, you mentioned about being independent and being Baptist. I mean, folks, I mean, all you got to do is just listen a little bit, and the maligning, the kicking, the absolute demeaning and just being terribly ugly about, it's like, you know, if you're a fundamentalist or if you're independent or you're a Baptist or a Christian, I mean, they just come at you as though that you're doing something terribly wrong. Well, you say, what do we do in such times? Not the time to get discouraged. Not the time to start whining. Not the time to just say, well, I guess I'll back off. No. The Bible says, stand fast. Just stay at it, even in such times. Now, second point to be made. Look at verse 4. Not only are we to stand fast, but he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And just for emphasis, then he says, and again, I say rejoice. I mean, it's like saying, don't you lose heart. You keep your spirit. You keep a smile on your face. You let your heart be joyful, and don't stop doing that. I mean, oh, sure, you get some hurt. Somebody turned on you. Somebody was ugly to you. Somebody that you had confidence in betrayed you. And he said, get up in the morning and rejoice. Let your heart be joyful as you go. That joyful heart will keep us going all along the way. Look at verse number 5. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. That word moderation basically is just telling us that we ought to be in control of ourselves. Don't let yourself get out of the kind of demeanor that you ought to be in. You know, sometimes somebody's ugly to you. It's awfully tempting to ugly them back. Amen. You know, somebody mistreats you, it's awfully tempting to just say, you know, they thumped on me. I think I might thump them back. But that's not the way to do it. That's not the way to do it. He just says, stay in control of yourself. Let your moderation be known. You measure things like they ought to be measured. And just stay steady. Stay steady. And drop down to verse number 8. Well, verse number 6, he says that we're in everything by prayer. Somewhere along the way, a lot of folks have the idea that prayer is just repeating some silly phrase that they repeat over and over and over again. And it's like, well, it's something they say, and it soothes them psychologically, but they don't realize. They seem to not understand. There's a God in heaven who listens to the voice of his children. Just like you have an earthly father who listened to you when you were a little one, so our heavenly Father delights to hear from his children, and he says, in everything, whatever's going on, whatever's going on in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful. The Lord sometimes answers little prayers. Sometimes he answers big prayers. We all have times when there are big prayers. We all have daily, we have little things. And I'm convinced, based on what I just read here, everything, we ought to talk to our Heavenly Father. Tell him about it. Just rejoice and thankful for everything that he provides and gives. And so in everything, we pray. You say, what are we talking about here? We're talking about when the bottom falls out, whenever it seems like the sky is falling, what are we to do? Listen, we're to take it, and follow God's directions, and we can make it. And so we learn here. It goes down to verse number 7, and he says, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind. Do it God's way, and God provides some things. He'll help you to stay steady inside. He'll help you to not panic. He'll help you to keep plowing whenever you feel like quitting. Not only that, but verse number 8, then he lays out that tremendous passage that has to do with character, has to do with the demeanor that we have and the way we behave. When he says, if it's right, if it's just, if it's true, if it's honest, pure, lovely, all of that, he said, just think on that. Think on those things. Get your mind thinking right, and that is, of course, what you'll do when you get out where people are. And then he goes on down, verses 13 and verses 19, two of the famous verses. Now, verse 13 says, I can do all things, talking about whatever it is I need to do. I can do all of that through Christ. Verse 19 says, and my God shall supply all your need. The problem is, too often, we jump down there and we want all that to happen, but we skip verse 1. We skip verse 4. We skip verse 5. We skip verse 6 and 7 and 8. And when we skip those things and drop down and say, okay, Lord, want you to come through, somewhere I think I can almost hear him saying, but you didn't stand fast, but you're not rejoicing, but you're not praying. And whenever you and I follow the directions, well, what happens? Oh, whenever we listen to what he has to say, we've learned, we've received, we've heard, we've seen in him. And truly, these Philippians, they had seen the Apostle Paul. They'd seen his preaching. They'd seen his teaching. They'd heard it. They'd seen him soul winning. They'd seen him planting churches. And you and I, every step of the way, we have all of those things in front of us. And whenever you get hurt, walk the walk that this lays out, and you'll make it. Not only will you take it, but you'll make it. You say, well, I got hurt. I got cut to the deep. I mean, to the quick. Well, so just keep on. Stay at it. Walk with the Lord. Keep your heart. Don't ingest those hurts so deeply that it makes you bitter, but instead do the things that are laid out here. You say, well, how do we take it and make it? Well, admit there's a God that is God. Remember, God is in heaven. He's alive and well, and he's on top of things. Remember that. God is God. We hear the gospel, we ought to receive it. We believe God's word and say it out loud. And just keep on keeping on doing the will of God, keep in sight of Jesus, living clean, upright lives, and delighting in the doing of it. Delighting in it. Not just doing what God says, but delighting in doing it.
You say, how do we do that? Well, just keep reading the book. Amen. Keep reading the book. And by the way, you don't need to keep changing books either. Amen. You know, forgive me, I'll get off on a rabbit trail there. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of folks are doing damage to the Word of God by tweaking here and tweaking there and saying, oh, we got something new now. We got it like we want it. Yeah, I understand you got it like you want it. But the fact is, the Lord gave it to us like He wants it. We don't need to mess with it. So we take fellowship seriously. We get in church and do what we're supposed to do, put that on a priority status, and just determine that we're going to be good stewards of everything God's placed in our hands. And the result of that is we'll just keep staying true and faithful as we go. You know, I look through the Bible, I find a bunch of folks that I just consider to be gung-ho folks in the Bible. You know, I look at Noah, getting instructions to do something nobody had ever done, nobody had ever heard of, and he was told that something was going to happen that nobody had ever seen before, and yet, what did he do? For decade after decade after decade, Noah just did what God told him to do. Amen. Just kept at it. And I don't know, but I'm guessing that some of those neighbors around Noah and his family, I'm guessing some of them had all kinds of things to say about him. They thought he was a weird old dude. They thought he was some kind of crazy old coot. And they no doubt said all kinds of things, you know, to chide him, probably said things directly to him. But what did he do? He kept building, 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 year after year. And by the way, I give Mrs. Noah a lot of points too. I don't see anything in the Bible that says she was dragging back and trying to get her husband not to do what the Lord had told him to do. By the way, I kind of like their kids too, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And by the way, they married pretty well because Mrs. Shem, Mrs. Ham, Mrs. Japheth, you look at that whole family. I mean, they're in this. They're pulling together. Don't you love it when families just do what families can do? I think it's great. And here they are, I'm telling you, gung-ho building and then gathering all of the animals and everything that they needed and then riding out the storm. I mean, just you look at them and you say, in the midst of all of the carping and criticism that they surely endured, and yet they just kept building, kept gathering, and rode out the storm high and dry. I gotta love it. I look at Joseph in the Old Testament, one of my favorite characters in the Old Testament. I look at him, and here he was betrayed by his family, but he saved his family. You think about that. After all they had done to him, and then he didn't respond with vengeance. No, he saved his family. And not only his family, but he saved his nation. And not only that, but he preserved the lineage of the Messiah. Now you think of all of that. I mean, that man, if anybody has ever been entitled to be bitter and to be angry, I mean, surely Joseph, I mean, he could have said, I've earned this and I'm going to be angry and I'm going to show it. I mean, he could have demonstrated all of that. And a lot of people have said, well, I understand. But again, you read his story. What a journey he took all along the way for years and just kept doing what he was supposed to do. I'm talking about a gung-ho guy. You know, I like Moses too. Oh, Moses was not a perfect man. But I'm telling you, the day came, and you got to realize he grew up in the palace of the Egyptians, and yet there came a day when he said, I'm not one of them. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Jew. And he said, our people need to go, and God's called me to lead them out. And he went and confronted the king that had basically, with the daughter, had reared him. He confronted them. I love it. I love him for what he did and for his diligence, for his love for his people, and just determining that he was not going to get. And then when the people misbehaved, I mean, oh, how heartbreaking it is to any person in a position of leadership when folks, I mean, you have to be gone a few days or gone on vacation or gone up to the top of the mountain to meet with God as Moses did, and you come back and they're building a golden calf and worshiping like a bunch of heathens. I mean, you got to be heartbroken at all of that. Well, listen, Moses had stability, and he had a stamina that just would not let go. And whenever those things turned sour on him, he stood up all the more and did what he was supposed to do. Tell you another one of my favorite characters. I'm talking about a gung-ho guy, is Elijah. I love that passage in 1 Kings where he stood up to Ahab, and that woman to whom he was married. Doc, you mentioned about Dr. R.G. Lee this morning in reference to the sermon. Oh, I heard Dr. Lee preach that one time, you know, and he talked about Ahab being that idolatrous toad that was squatted upon the throne of Israel, and Jezebel being that venomous viper that was coiled around that idolatrous toad that was squatted upon the throne of Israel. Ahab was the most wicked of the kings of Israel, and Jezebel was even more wicked, even more vile, even more despicable than her evil husband. And yet Elijah stood up to them, called upon God, and you know the story. The fire came down from heaven, not only consumed the wood, but the water and the altar, everything. God showed himself strong to Elijah because Elijah didn't quake, he didn't quit, but he stayed true. I love the story of Queen Esther. When she risked her own life to save her people, this lady that very easily could have been executed for approaching the king without permission, and yet she did exactly that in order to save her people. I love the story of little David, a lion and a bear, and then finally a giant. I look at all of that, I say, man, you're talking about somebody that would not quit, somebody that just dug in and with whatever difficulty stayed at it day after day. You know, I know Jonah was not a perfect guy, but I got to give him a few points as well. Oh, I know he was rebellious at the start, and I know even when the revival broke out, I know he had things going on, but I'll tell you what, sometimes you got to look at him and just say, you know, he may have been dealing with some issues in his own mind, but he finally did what he was supposed to do. He finally stepped up and said, all right, it's out of my hands. I'm going to go do it. And I got to like some of what he did, a whole lot of what he did. And there have been others. The Bible's full of them. These folks that just, I mean, the bottom may fall out. They may have hurt. They may have difficulty. There may be all kinds of societal pressures. And I'll tell you what they did. They took it. And with God's help, they made it. And I'm looking at a bunch of folks tonight, and there's a bunch of others via these cameras that are looking at us. And my guess is that even some of the folks who may be watching online, or maybe even some of you sitting here tonight, you're looking around and you're just hoping that the rest of us are for real. You're hoping that the rest of us will not give down and cave in when something happens that is disagreeable to us. Well, I'm telling you, you and I have a great responsibility. Amen. Being the ambassadors of our Lord and Savior, we have a great responsibility. I'm well aware little eyes are watching. I'm well aware that people are watching from every direction. And honestly, we ought not to be unhappy about that. We ought to be just absolutely grateful that we have a little dab of influence, and it may touch some little child, it may touch somebody who comes from afar, it may touch somebody down the street. But whatever the case, to have the privilege to represent the great King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and to be his spokesperson, his witness, his ambassador, what a privilege that is. So the next time somebody's ugly to you, don't let it throw you. The next time that something crazy happens at the Puzzle Palace on the Potomac, don't let it throw you. Next time that, you know, some crazy things happens just down the street in town here, don't let it make you discouraged. Just say, by the grace of God, we're going to get up. We're going to keep plowing. We're going to keep both oars in the water. We're going to keep doing what we've been doing because we know who we serve. The Apostle Paul was in jail. And I see no hint of discouragement or bitterness, and there's no whining. And by the grace of God, I hope you'll join with me and say, that's the way I want to be. Amen. That's the way I want to do it, because I'd like to be able to influence somebody else to make their choice to step to the Savior and give their heart to Him. He said, these things that you've learned, you've received, you've heard, you've seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. You want God on board? You want Him to bestow His blessing? You want Him to give generously? There's the key. And He will help us all along the way. You know, there's a verse in the Psalms where the psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old, and I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Now, folks, I remember when I was young, and I'm getting older. But I'm going to tell you, the great God that we serve, He'll not disappoint you. He'll not leave you in the lurch. You get on board with Him, and He'll see you through every day to the last day. Stand up with me, and we'll pray together. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The pastors, Pastor Parsons and others will be here at the front to help in the altar. Maybe tonight somebody in this room, or maybe somebody watching online, has entrusted the Savior. Listen, what I've recommended to you tonight can never really take hold in your life unless you receive the Savior as your Savior. When Jesus died on the cross and arose from the grave, He paid the whole sin debt, purchased salvation in full. And you can have that if you'll put your trust in Him. At the same time, there may be some of you tonight, you're looking for a church home, you need to come, you want to come, you want to be here, you want to be a part of Landmark Baptist Church. Others of you maybe haven't been baptized, you want to be baptized, you'll come and tell the pastor you want to get that arranged. I want you to know tonight, whatever's going on, many, many of you coming already, finding your way to this altar, doing the business of God. You may have a hurt, you may have a burden, you may have had somebody kick you in the teeth, and it may still be hurting. Well, I want you to know these things that I've given you in the Bible, and this is just one little chapter. There's hundreds of other chapters in the Bible. They'll help you. They'll get you there. They'll help you to take it when the hurt comes. They'll help you to make it day by day and step by step. If God's working in your life, don't hesitate. Find your way. Lord, I pray now, do something special. Do something to make an impact on us in this service tonight. Give, I pray, your very best to us. We'll thank you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Singing together, come on.
All to Jesus I surrender. All
find your way into the aisle and just come on. Come on, do it now. Don't put it off. The Lord's touched your heart. The Lord's working in your life. Do it now. We'll rejoice with you. We'll join together and thank God for what He's doing in your life.
I surrender.
That's the key. Surrender. Just give in to Him.
I surrender.